Yes, and there are two kinds of immortality in the Nordic tradition. One is the immortality of here and now. You achieve things and you'll be remembered in the hearts and minds of those who knew you or who heard about you. And then, of course, there's the other immortality of the hereafter, assuming that there is one, or assuming that you believe that there is a hereafter. The only immortality I'm sure of is the immortality of here and now, the gratification and satisfaction of being remembered in the hearts and minds of people that know you. Is enough immortality for me right now.
Would you like to recite some of your poetry for our audience?
Oh, yes. Let me get my little book out. I don't write the poems out completely. I write a few lines down, a few words, and that's a cue just to get me started.
Are they improvisational?
No, they're all strict couplets written in iambic septameter. That means seven iambic feet to the line, you know? Here's a sample of them. If ever you're afraid, the only thing for you to do is to tell yourself you're not afraid. Afraid of what's and who's. Aristotle's doctrine isn't loose enough to budge. Commutative justice is the business of the judge. Due process is to Bill of Rights what blotter is to ink. If one absorbs, the other is absorbable, I think. My credo may be this, that ere my dearth of days is past, I'll strive to live each one as if it were my first and last. Standard bearers never seem to know that standards vary with time and place, at least as much as double standards vary. A platypus is just a mole that's wrapped around a duck. That's wrapped around some eggs with legs enough to run amok. Carnivores who lived on herbivores who lived on plants were all consumed by omnivores who walked around in pants. I'm caught between two lights out in the middle of the street, between two herds of automotivores with rubber feet. The Leaning Tower leaned a little farther south and said, I wouldn't be so famous if I had a level head. We were few and far between in prehistoric times, and we'll be few and far between in post-historic times. So the story goes, the hill was high, the dale was low, but when the dale was mountained by a quake, the hill was low. And so forth.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have you ever had a book published of your poems, Mundo?
Well, I brought out some at my own expense, but the only ones that have been published are in newspapers, magazines, or there's two on one of my albums, two poems, and what I've done on TV and radio and that sort of thing.
Some of your music has been used for films, hasn't it?
Yes. On this first Columbia album, I have sold the movie rights to Jack Nicholson, who did Easy Rider. And he used my music in the basketball sequence of his movie called Drive, He Said, which came out last year. And I conducted one piece on Merv Griffin's show. It was a piece I wrote in honor of Charlie Parker, the alto sax player. Called Bird's Lament.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good song.
What instruments do you play yourself, Moondog?
All I do now is percussion. I have triangular drums which I designed and had built. But I studied piano and violin in my school days, but I didn't keep it up because I wanted to devote all my time to writing.
Yeah, you credited on your first album as to playing bass.
I know, that was a mistake. I didn't play. I did use a bass on one of my earlier records. I bought up an old string bass and did some bass parts, but the person who did the crediting on the album made several mistakes which never were corrected on future printing. That often happens. I should have checked over all the liner notes before it went to press.
How did you ever get hooked up with James William Garcia, Starless producer?
Well, I met him on the street near the Warwick Hotel, and at that time he was a sideman in a relatively unknown rock group. And then the next time I met him was in 69 in the fall, no, 68. And he said he had become a producer and he wanted to record some of my music. So he had a deal going with Columbia, and so he signed me up to do an album on Columbia. So it came out in the fall of 69.
Do you have any other recordings besides those two on Columbia?
That's all I have out now. I did some in the 50s, which are out of print now. I did one with Julie Andrews also on Angel, which is also out of print. I wrote all the music to Mother Goose, and she sang it with Martin Green.
What kind of music do you listen to when you listen to it?
Mostly classical.
Uh-huh.
That's my favorite.
Any composers?
What'd you say?
Any particular composers that you listen to?
Well, the three B's and Haydn, Mozart, and Wagner, and Schubert, people like that. Although I hear a lot of current music, I'm fond of Bob Dylan, and I like a lot of the things the Beatles did, and some other rock groups, Chicago and Rolling Stones. Oh, there's so many of them that are doing some very interesting things. I like the Pentangles especially because they're acoustical and not amplified.
Have you ever heard the Third Ear Band?
No, I haven't, and it's strange you mentioned that because they wanted me to come over to tour Europe in 20 concerts, and they said I could have my own orchestra and everything. I was agreeable, but something happened. They couldn't raise the funds or something, so I never got to go over. And I'd never heard of their name mentioned until you mentioned it. Do they have a record out?
Several. They're
Is that
imports,
right?
though.
Oh, uh-huh.
Except they do have one that was released here, but it's probably pretty hard to get.
Yes.
And they also did the music for Macbeth.
Oh, yes? In the movie?
Yeah. They're acoustical, too.
Oh,
very
right.
Interesting.
That's good, yes.
John Renborn's got a couple of solo albums out.
Yeah.
Dog, if a rock group came up to you and asked you if they could perform some of your songs, say if like an acoustical rock group, would you go in there and help them?
Yes, I would prefer to do that. Now, in the case of the Big Brother, they heard this song, All Is Loneliness, on a record that I did and picked it up by ear. And I wish I'd have been there to sort of monitor the thing, because as flattered as I am that they did it, I think they could have done better if they'd had the notes. So my question, my answer is yes to that.
Excuse me, sir. That's your real name, Moondog?
No, it's a pen name I've been using since 1947.
What's the name?
I had a dog that howled at the moon a great deal, and so when
the moon dog howled, yeah, moon dog,
and he goes like, hey! And I used that on one of my records as a sort of a trademark.
And then
19, a little Spanish Music Center label in New York. Yeah, it was first came out on a 78. And I started using that pen name in 1947.
What name did you use before then?
Just my regular name, Lewis Hardin.
Lewis Hardin?
I'm a relative of John Wesley Hardin. That's why I like that song that Dylan did. Only he put a G on the end, Harding.
Yeah.
And he had that written with a G on the record, you know. He said he knew his name was Hardin, but he liked to sing it with a G, Harding.